Okay, I'm going to go to the audience. Any questions for back to the council? Pete?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to ask, how come there's no mention at all of herring as a predator species in this assessment? Herrings eat too, and it doesn't seem to be mentioned anywhere. And if you pull the belly out of as many herrings as I have to see what's in them, a lot of different stuff goes on a herring's belly, into a herring's belly, and I'm shocked that there's no mention at all of herrings as a predator species. Thank you.
The SSC was not presented any information regarding to herring predation on other species, so I cannot respond as to why that is. All I can say is that we did not have any information, so therefore we could not comment on it.
I see, Judd, but there was somebody right next to you, right?
Good morning, Erica Fuller from Earth Justice, on speaking on behalf of the plaintiffs in the Amendment 4 suit. Recently, the court ordered NIMS to consider a range of alternatives for establishing an ABC control rule, at least one of which is based on the most recent best available science for setting ABC control rules for forage fish. Here, the SSC has provided us with two approaches for just the next 3 years, neither of which incorporates the most recent best available science for forage or for setting harvest under these circumstances. In its report the council provided yesterday, the SSC asks this council for guidance on how you would like to see this stock managed. We ask that you take this issue back to the SSC with guidance so that at least one of the ABC control rule alternatives that you consider is based on the best available science for forage fish. Thank you.
Judd.
Judd Crawford, Pew Environment Group. I commented earlier about the importance of Atlantic herring as forage in the ecosystem. It's an important food source, and I just wanted to quickly say a couple of things. Chris in his presentation talked about, and the SSC as a whole, I was at the meeting, about control rules and whether what they had come up with was actually a control rule, and should it be called a control rule at all, or was it just what we're going to do for the next couple of years? And I think one of the things ideally that a control rule would do would be to come up with a set of guidelines that doesn't sort of accidentally meet thinking about how you manage a forage fish, but that actually would lead the SSC and the council to ABC levels that are appropriate for a forage stock under a wide range of conditions. So Atlantic herring, fortunately, right now are in very good condition. They're abundant, but they haven't always been abundant. We've seen crashes here in New England in the past. And I think it would be valuable to give very serious consideration to trying to develop a control rule that contemplates and is responsive to changes in status, and also, as the previous speaker mentioned, takes into account quite a bit of new information that's come out from ecosystem simulation modeling, looking at how different kinds of catch levels for fish like herring, how they perform in ecosystems, and specifically not only the extent to which you're risking collapsing the forage species, a species that's feeding lots of other things in the ecosystem, but also importantly something that I don't think is really addressed in a formal way through the stock assessment is different catch levels and more importantly, how different levels of abundance of a fish like herring in the ecosystem changes or influences the risk of collapsing up dependent stocks, stocks that are using those fish as food, just the way the industry is using them as a resource. So I think there's a lot of work that can be done here. There's a lot of good guidance that's come out in the last couple of years, 2011-12, and I'd encourage you to look hard at this. And you know, I think other people mentioned earlier on that this is part of beginning to grapple with the issue of ecosystem-based management. And gosh, if there was ever a time when this council should be taking a step back and thinking hard about the ecosystem issues, I think it's right now. Thank you.
Anyone else? Patrick?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Patrick Paquette, recreational fishing advocate. I work with the organized recreational fishing community up and down the coast, especially on herring. A question, obviously we have a lot of recent experience that basing, that assessments driven by one strong year class tend to be leaving this council in a pretty bit of a pickle. And we've got more than one example of that right now before us. So. With that being said, I'm wondering if the Chris could expand upon the what I would describe as the lack thereof or the very small amount of scientific uncertainty, especially in year three of the constant catch scenario. It appears to me like we're not that that the uncertainty buffer in constant catch as you go out into that third year is seems really minimal. And on a second subject, I'll just ask the second question now and let the gentleman respond. It appears that at some point in time this afternoon we're going to be talking about management area removals in the herring plan. And if we're going to go there, did the SSC have any discussions? I personally think that any kind of discussion like that should be informed, should have SSC opinions going into them. So, because I didn't hear of any or read of any, and when me or any of my colleagues were at the SSC meeting. So, if we're going to have that discussion, I'm just wondering what the SSC's opinion of changing removals from the management areas would be.
Excuse me. I'll take the second question first. No, we did not have any discussion about the area-based removals of either of the ABC streams. In terms of the first question, the statement is correct that the buffer between OFL and ABC is very small in the third year of the constant catch projection or a control rule, and this is because in the first 2 years the F is well below has very little risk of overfishing, and so it's a trade-off being made in terms of timing of risk that's being done relative to the 75% FMSY, which is designed to have a constant risk over the 3 years. The constant catch has a changing risk over time, and even though the OFL equals the ABC in the third year, you see that they're much further apart in the first year.
Anyone else in the audience? Jeff?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm Jeff Kalin with Lunds Fisheries. I was a little surprised, actually, by Dr. LeGault's last statement on this previous slide, I think, on the SSC requesting guidance from the Council on managing for MSY or reducing projections due to herring being a forage fish. I paraphrase that. Because this issue, I thought, was fully vetted at the SSC meeting. And, you know, it's disappointing. I frankly don't think some of our conservation partners are going to be happy until we don't fish for herring anymore, even though it's been a primary fishery in the region for over 100 years. They're always wanting more from us. These are reasonable yields, I think. And my question, I guess, really, you know, I was listening to John's comment yesterday about the council being a wonderful democracy and so forth, but I really don't think this is a question that should be left to the political foundation that the council has. This is a science issue, and we're being whipsawed by questions about whether or not the issue has been adequately developed in, at the SSC and considered or not. We heard, you know, well, I guess what I'd like to do, because I remember this being discussed, I remember a couple of people around the table at the SSC saying to folks who brought the same concerns to them, you know, what do you want us to do? We've just doubled M. The retrospective is gone from the model. This is one of the best ecosystem assessments that we're doing in the region and so forth. And I specifically recall other members of the SSC commenting on these papers that are flying around that are saying we should, you know, leave 80% of virgin biomass in the water and so forth. That this was fully vetted at the SSC. So my question to Dr. LaGault, who I have a lot of respect for, is where did that question come from? Because I don't recall the SSC leaving it up to people to make a decision. Of course, the National Standard 1 guidelines always allow the council to be more conservative. But I don't remember that question posed at the SSC meeting. And in this particular assessment, the forage issue has been dealt with so that our MSY yields are down to below any level of catch that's occurred in the herring fishery for over 100 years. So I'm really wondering where that specific recommendation about requesting guidance from the council came from. Thank you.
Yeah, the request to the council arose because, as you may recall, there was a lot of discussion at the SSC meeting that neither of these control rules is sufficiently developed to be just blindly applied into the future. There needs to be consideration of, well, what if the 2008 year class comes in and stock size starts taking off? Would we still consider the risk constant catch fishery to be equivalent to 75% FMSY fishery or not? There was discussion that we are addressing some of the forage issues by having an increase in M that tries to match consumption rates. However, there are predators that were not included in that group, and there may be other reasons why, even with a higher M, you may still want to change your target in terms of what you're trying to achieve from the fishery. And so this request does come from the discussion at the meeting that we had, because the advice that we are providing here is only for the next 3 years, and this request for guidance is not something that we need immediately. It's something we need before the next ABC setting is conducted.
To bring it back to the council, Mary Beth.
Pursue that just a little further. I was at the SSC meeting and did listen to the discussion, and certainly this issue was raised by an SSC member, and another SSC member said, well, he didn't feel that we really needed to consider a different, reduced F or higher targets due to the status of the stock, and that this particular stock assessment more fully incorporates forage than any that we have in the region. So what we have here is a huge step forward, and it's good enough. There was, I don't recall any request for the council to consider this. What I read it was, it appeared to be something that arose when you wrote up the meeting summary. Because for those of us in the room, there was no discussion of for the council to consider this. Is that incorrect?
This is one of the difficulties that we face as an SSC, is trying to summarize day-long discussions into a small report, and we've experienced difficulty trying to capture the discussions that occurred. These documents that have been presented to you have been approved by the SSC membership. These are the consensus opinions, and so all I can say is that this request for guidance is something that the members of the SSC felt was sufficiently described during discussions. Everyone obviously can have different recollections of discussions that occurred over the day. They were quite wide ranging, and I'll leave it there.
So just to follow up quickly, I certainly listened to the entire day, and there was no request that I heard during that, and I think I would have remembered that. And I think scientists are used to writing reports after their meetings and making some adjustments, which is a different process than I think we're used to at committee meetings, at council meetings, in which if we're going to make recommendations or requests, we do it at the meeting. We don't do it in, you know, we don't adjust our discussion or our decisions through summaries. So it's a little different, but it's disturbing to us when we see something in an SSC summary that does this when it was not discussed this way at the meeting. It certainly, the topic was discussed, but I don't believe that the request was.
David Pierce.
Yeah, Chris, I guess I still don't understand the nature of the request, and I'll tell you why. In going over your presentation, I see that indeed, with this assessment, there was a change in the natural mortality to reduce the retrospective pattern and more closely match the consumption rates. That's in the presentation. And then the FMSY is approximately half of the natural mortality rate. So those were two critical scientific considerations, and I think they made a lot of sense. And then in your slide where you discuss role of herring in the ecosystem, you make a very important point. That is, both control rules result in fishing mortality being less than natural mortality and biomass being greater than the BMSY. Both meet ecosystem-based targets. So the way I look at it, the assessment has taken away the need for us to make a choice. It seems like the choice has already been made for us by the assessment itself, because we are going to be operating with reduced fishing mortality rates and higher biomass targets because of forage species. That's the way I look at this. The forage has been accounted for in a major way, and appropriately so. So I know the SSC doesn't need the guidance from us right now, but unless I'm still misunderstanding something, the SSC recommendation to us regarding what the ABC should be answers the question. We are not going to be managing as a typical MSY fishery, and because of the assessment, we will have reduced F and higher biomass targets. So what am I missing here? The assessment has dramatically reduced the BMSY value that's in one of the presentations. So I think we're already there. The choice has been made for us, hasn't it?
You're correct that you're already there for the next 3 years. If either one of these control rules were to continue, though, into the future, the biomass would eventually get down close to the target associated with MSY reference points, because you would be driving them towards there just like you would in a groundfish stock assessment. And so the question is should there be an additional buffer between those reference points that would arise from a strict say groundfish control rule being applied, or have the changes that have been made, are they sufficient to go ahead and use what we currently have? So if the council feels that what's going on is fine, then we're happy to carry forward.
But isn't the biomass drop that's projected due in large part to the very large predation on the herring resource by the predators? I look at the data regarding how much the predators are eating, and 1 year was 60,000 metric tons, far less than what has been made available for catch by the fishery. So it seems to me that if we're going to deal with biomass, we have to somehow remove the predators. You know what I mean? It's just the predators are not manageable by us. They're the ones that are responsible for, that will be responsible for the decrease in stock size. So they've already got quite a bit in their stomachs, and we're giving them a lot. We're giving them what they need, basically, by way of the assessment that says to all the predators, okay, you're eating X, Y, and Z, it's all yours, because we can't do anything else but what you eat and take it away from the commercial fishery. So I'm still struggling with this. There'll be more debate about it. Obviously, your questions, the SSC's question is a very valid one. I've got to reflect on it more, and I guess better understand it and its implications.
Matt McKenzie. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Dr. Legault, I want to congratulate you on distilling down a massive amount to very concise presentations. And I take your point earlier that there's a lot that you had to gloss over. Could you go into more detail about the role of the 2008 year class in these projections in particular? It's a big, large number, largest on record. Could you explain how you handled that? What that the role that that year class plays in your projections? Thank you.
Okay. As you mentioned, it is a very large year class, and so in the projection years, it accounts for a large amount of the biomass, and as it enters the fishery, a large amount of the catch. However, there are a lot of indications that the size of this year class is being estimated correctly. This is not based on just a single survey that happened to pick something up. We're seeing it consistently over multiple surveys, early indications in the fishery over in the surveys over multiple years. And so while some sensitivity analyses were conducted that show the impact, which as you expect if that year class is lower, then catches would be lower, the SSC felt that there was sufficient information available to estimate the strength of that year class, that additional measures to account for uncertainty in the strength of that year class were not needed.
Can you talk a little more at length about the projected recruitment in subsequent year classes as they recruit into the fishery?
Okay. In the subsequent year classes, those will be drawn from previous estimates of recruitment in the modeling framework. And so it'll be based on observations that we've had in the past. And I don't recall off the top of my head what time period is used for that drawing of year classes, but it would account for the possibility of another strong year class happening, but it would also account for the possibility of the years when we exhibited moderate or even low recruitment happening. And so those become just random draws to try to say there's a range of possible things that could happen. We believe what we've seen in the past is an accurate reflection of what we'll see into the future, and therefore we can draw on those past estimates in conducting our projections forward.
I have Paul Howard, Tom Dempsey, then we're going to move on to scallops.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is the second instance where we were talking about we need management advice before we get the science. The first one was when we were talking about the SSC needs to know whether it's going to be a bycatch fishery in scallops for the yellowtail or not would depend on scientific advice. And now we're looking at it depends on how we want to treat forage, the scientific advice. And initially I thought that was bad. I thought the whole system would come to a standstill if the science was waiting for the management to make decisions. But that's not what it is. And I think what this is can be resolved in a better dialogue with the SSC that we're talking about with this two-day workshop about risk analysis. The SSC gets the stock assessment. We need to know the biomass and the F to make decisions. And that does not depend on management. You get the stock assessment. But what does depend on management is the scientific advice, what to do with that stock assessment. So I think that's where we need a better dialogue about how much risk we want to have dealing with the SSC, how much we want to consider forage. Do we want to have a balance between the economics and the balance between forage? Do we want to this year just ignore something until we get more science? I think this is all about a dialogue with scientific advice, not a dialogue about what the science is.
Tom Dempsey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess, just to follow up on Dr. Pierce's comments, I think what we're getting bogged down here in is a conversation either we're sort of confusing the assessment outcome and the control rule. And I think in this instance, to borrow a phrase used earlier, I think in this instance we're basically the blind squirrel that's found the acorn. The numbers coming out of this assessment conform to perhaps what we would expect out of a different control rule that more explicitly included or incorporated ecosystem factors. So I don't think that's really the question here. The assessment outcome is what it is. I think the question that we need to deal with moving forward and what Chris has suggested is we need to decide whether we want to adjust the control rule to do that explicitly and increase our opportunities in the future moving forward of coming to the right answer more consistently, given changing circumstances, changing. So I do think that they're sort of two, while interrelated, they're two separate questions. Where we want the control rule, whether the options that we have here explicitly incorporate the ecosystem considerations, or whether we got to a similar, perhaps, answer without those considerations included. So I think it's a longer, as Paul pointed out, a longer discussion. Want to end up with a control rule, and perhaps we'll come back to this as we in our later agenda item with the recommendations from the court and how that's going to tearing it.
Chris, yeah, I don't know if you have comments to that, and then to the scallop.
Just that I think the last two speakers have described it much more eloquently than I've been able to, and I thank them both.